To the book of Jonah. Jonah. We'll read together Jonah 1, verse 17 through chapter 2. The word of God at Jonah 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. We read God's word that far, and all of those verses that we read tonight make up the text that we will consider. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, God would not let Jonah go. Beloved, God will not let any of His children go. Try as Jonah did, and try as we may, on account of our sin, to depart from the Lord, God will never let us go. Through the means that God has ordained and the circumstances of our lives, God always preserves His children, always leads them back to Himself so that they, in true sorrow and repentance, turn to the Lord. We saw last time that Jonah, while he was in the ship, did not completely turn to the Lord. Yes, it was true that he acknowledged his sin, and yes, it was true that he even said he deserved to be punished for that sin. But even that did not show a true, complete turning to the Lord. And we see now in this chapter in Jonah that God continued to be with him and continued to preserve him through the means of that fish, so that while Jonah was in the belly of that fish, not only did God save him physically, but God saved him spiritually. So that while he was in that fish's belly, we see in Jonah a true, a genuine, a complete turning to the Lord. A true, genuine, complete sorrow and repentance over his sin. Tonight, we don't need to spend a lot of time talking about whether or not it is possible for a fish to swallow a man and do so in such a way that he survives 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly. To add legitimacy to Jonah 2, we don't need to scientifically look at the size of the mouth of the greatest fish in the sea, the size of the belly, how much oxygen is there, and say, yes, this really could have taken place. To add legitimacy to Jonah 2, we don't need to cite what is often cited an event in the early 1900s in which a man supposedly was swallowed by a giant fish that was later caught, cut open, and to the surprise of the sailors, there was a man, unconscious but alive, in the belly of that fish. We don't need to do any of that, because we believe what we have in Jonah 2. By faith, we believe what we read in Jonah 2. Whether or not it was possible, in the end, does not matter. This was a miracle performed by God, evident from the very first words of the text. Now the Lord prepared, the Lord appointed this fish to carry out His work. If we believe, and we do believe with all of our hearts, that the Lord Jesus Christ was in a grave for 3 days and three nights, and then arose from that grave, how much more do we believe this? Jonah, a type of Christ, in the belly of the fish, 3 days and three nights. God prepared that fish to do His work, the work of preserving Jonah, the work of completing the turning of Jonah back to Himself, because we see that in the belly of the fish, this true, full repentance, evident from the fact that he prayed to God, evident from the fact of what he prayed, the content of his prayer, and this true and genuine turning to God, evident from the glorious conclusion that Jonah came to, that his salvation, as is everyone's salvation, is only of the Lord. Let's see tonight Jonah's prayer from the fish's belly. We notice 3 points, those 3 things that I just referenced. What Jonah did, and what he did was pray. What Jonah said, we'll look then in the second point at the content of that prayer. And then last, what Jonah concluded. Briefly, the glorious conclusion that we have as the theme of the series, salvation is of the Lord. What Jonah did, said, and concluded. When Jonah was thrown into the Mediterranean Sea, he experienced what any man who is drowning would experience. For a time, he was conscious of what was taking place around him. He felt the currents of the sea. He saw the waves and the billows crashing over him. And it may have been even the case that he did go unconscious, like anyone who is drowning would do. Whether he was conscious or not, God did not let Jonah stay at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. He prepared this fish to come and to swallow up Jonah. While Jonah was in the belly of that fish, he was conscious. It was uncomfortable, of course, but he was conscious. He was able to think and he was able to speak. And what was it that Jonah did while he was in the belly of that fish? He prayed to God. It's significant that that's the very first words of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. The heading for what this passage of God's Word teaches us. Really, the beginning of the chapter should be the last verse of chapter 1, verse 17. That's why we started with that verse. We all know that the chapters and the verses in the Bible are not inspired. God did not break the Bible down in chapters and verses. In the Middle Ages, that was done by men to help us study God's Word, to facilitate the reading of the Word of God. For the most part, it was very well done, but here's an example where it could be improved upon. Really, the chapter break should be at the end of verse 16, because then what we have is this main section, beginning with verse 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord prepared a fish. And then ending with verse 10 of chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto that fish. When that's the chapter, we see the overriding theme of these chapters in Jonah. God's work. His gracious, merciful work of preserving Jonah. That's the overriding theme. But within that, we see what Jonah does. And heading that section of what Jonah does are these words. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Jonah was in that belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. This is not all that Jonah prayed. Continually, he must have been in prayer with his God. And what we have in Jonah 2 then is a summary of what Jonah said to God in the belly of that fish. Furthermore, when you read this prayer of Jonah, you get the feeling that Jonah is simply pouring out his soul to God. It's not one of those prayers where you can identify major points and then within the major themes, sub-points, so that the prayer proceeds logically and in a good order. There are themes in the prayer. That's the second point of the sermon. But it's somewhat intentional, I think. You get the feeling that Jonah is simply pouring out his soul to God. And that's how prayer is sometimes for us, is it not? You find yourself in a situation and you simply open up your soul and petitions flow out of your heart to Jehovah God. That's what we have with Jonah's prayer to God. Up to this point in the history of Jonah, we don't read that he prayed. That's significant. And that in part led us to say last time that what Jonah did while he was in the ship was not a complete turning to God. One of the reasons for that was the fact that he did not go to God in prayer. But now he does. That's what happens. When one walks in the ways of sin, a deliberate refusal to go to the throne of grace in prayer. When Jonah said to God, I'm not going to go to Nineveh, instead I'm going to go to Tarshish. From that point on, he deliberately did not go to God in prayer. And that's the case in our lives too sometimes. You walk in the ways of sin. Instead of drawing near to God, you refuse to go to God in prayer. And notice that I'm saying refuse to. That's different than not able to. Because sometimes that's the case, where we want to pray, but we can't. Because of the state of our soul, depression, anxiety, whatever else, we're not able, although we want to pray to God. If that's the case, then you go to the elders, you go to the pastor, you go to someone for help and someone to pray with. That's not what Jonah did. It wasn't he wasn't able to, it was he didn't want to. I bring up this point to point out the opposite. And the opposite is that when we continually are talking to God in prayer, normally that corresponds to a life lived in obedience to God. Just as when young people have a good relationship with their parents, constantly talking with their parents, very open, healthy conversations with their parents, normally that will go alongside young people that are not blatantly walking into disobedience to the commandments of their parents and to the commandments of God. Continually talking with one another keeps you on the same page. And that's the case with our relationship with God. When we're praying to Him often, every single day, seeking His guidance and counsel in our lives, confessing our sins, that's an indication that we're walking on the right path, the obedient path. But the opposite is true as well. as seen in the life of Jonah. Examine your prayer life, because that in and of itself is an indication of whether or not you're on the path or near the path of walking in sin. Staying close to God in prayer goes hand in hand with walking in the way of obedience to Him. But the main point within this first point of the sermon is to see that Jonah's true confession, true sorrow, true turning to God came in the way of his praying to God. God's goal with all that He sent in Jonah's life was to bring Jonah back to Himself. And that could only take place in the way of Jonah praying to God. Because in prayer, confession of sin is made to God. In prayer, we are able to express praise, gratitude, exaltation to God. In prayer, we're able to offer sacrifices of thanks to Him. But especially the first one, confession of sin. You go to God in prayer, confessing your sin, and in the way of confessing sin, you experience again restoration and reconciliation with God. Prior to this event in Jonah's life, him being in the belly of the fish, that was not present, but now it is. And through that, he experiences what it means to be a restored sinner, saved by the grace of God. Continually, we need to remind ourselves of that. It may not be the case for us that we are blatantly walking in disobedience to God's will for us, as Jonah was. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And where did Jonah go? He went to Tarshish, intent on fleeing from the presence of God. That may not be the case. It may be deliberate walking in sin. But it doesn't have to be to make this point. Because in the end, beloved, every single day, in a certain sense, we're on a flight to Tarshish. Because every day, our lives are filled with sin. And all of our sin is a departing from the Lord. And so every single day, in a certain sense, we need to be a restored sinner. And every single day, we need to go to God in prayer so that we can confess our sins, praise God, exalt His name, and give offerings of thanks by what we say to Him. And in that way, experience day by day what Jonah experienced in the belly of the fish, reconciliation and life with God. But it comes through prayer. So that it's not good enough when we sin against one another simply to acknowledge that sin. Jonah did that on the ship. It's not good enough even to just confess that sin to one another. More must be done. It must be brought to the throne of grace in prayer. And through that, as Jonah experienced, we see a true and a complete turning to the Lord. A couple of more points with respect to what Jonah did generally, and that is pray. When Jonah prayed to the Lord in the belly of the fish, he did so using the words of Scripture. If you read Jonah 2 in a good reference Bible, you'll notice that many times throughout Jonah 2 there are references to other passages of Scripture, and in particular the Psalms, Psalm 116, 31, 132, 96, 143, and 3. All throughout his prayer, he quoted or referred to Psalms. It's fitting that he used the Psalms. The Psalms, in a beautiful way, capture all of the emotions and the experiences of the child of God. Jonah prayed the words of the Bible. Now the question is, how did he know that? How could he do that? He wasn't in the belly of the fish with a scroll of the Psalms, reading through it, and okay, when I get to this point, I'm going to use that language in my prayer. Of course not. Jonah was able to do that because the words of the Psalms were etched upon his heart and soul. In his spontaneous pouring out his heart to God prayer, what came forth were the very words of Scripture. Can that be said about us? Do we know the Scriptures in such a way that our spontaneous prayers to God are filled with the language of Scripture? I'm not saying that the only good prayer is a prayer filled with references to the Word of God. Of course not. But that is a good prayer. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. Go to the Word of God. Go to the Psalms. Pray through the Psalms. Beautiful words with which God is pleased when we offer them in prayer. Fast forward. Who knows how many years? Maybe in the lifetime of our children, when we won't have the Scriptures, and when we'll be in such a state that we won't have the electronic devices and the phones in which we can find the Bible and read the Bible. Will we have those words in our hearts like Jonah did? And will our children have those words so that not only in prayer, but also for every day building up, we can look to the Word of God and have the Word of God in our hearts? Jonah did. And it's beautiful that in his spontaneous prayer, what came forth were the words of Scripture. Let's work hard at doing that, myself included, along with the congregational prayers too, in using the words of Scripture to help us go to God in prayer. Prayer is hard. We all know that. It's tough to not be repetitious. It's tough to stay fresh. Well, here we have it, right here, to continually help us in bringing words to God in prayer. Jonah prayed using the Scriptures. One more point generally about what Jonah did. We learn from this chapter of God's Word that you and I have the unbelievable privilege to talk with God in prayer at any time and in any situation. If any passage of God's Word teaches that, it's this passage. Where is Jonah? Thousands of feet below the Mediterranean Sea in the belly of a fish. And he prayed to God, and God heard him, and God answered him. We can broaden the application. We don't have to just talk about distressful situations on account of sin. Any situation that we are going through. We have to get it out of our minds that the only time we pray in our lives is when we wake up in the morning, before we eat dinner, after we eat dinner, at night before we go to bed at our bedside, in church on Sunday. So much more than that. In the toughest of situations, right when you're in it, you can go to God in prayer. A mother in the home, children running around, wondering, can I keep this up? Never have the opportunity to put my feet up and get away from it. You can go to God in prayer and He will help you. Fathers at work, wondering, can I get the work done? Can I get work for someone else? In the midst of the unbelieving world, you can go to God in prayer. Children on the playground at recess if it was the school year, going through a tough time in the classroom with friends right now, anytime, our God hears us. God heard Jonah from the belly of that fish. God will hear us. at any time and in any circumstance. What did Jonah do in the belly of the fish? He prayed to God. We've looked at that generally. It was through prayer that he experienced reconciliation with God. He prayed the words of Scripture, and we learn that we can pray anytime and anywhere. But now we look at the prayer specifically, what it was that Jonah said. Remember what I said a moment ago, it's tough to break this prayer down and understand the main themes because it does leave the impression that he simply poured out his soul to God. But we can. We can identify four main parts, four main themes that run through this prayer of Jonah. In the first place, Jonah expressed in his prayer to God that he was in a distressful, fearful situation as a result of what God had done to him. Look at how he describes what he's going through. Verses 2 through 6. Out of the belly of hell, he cried. Really, the belly of the grave. The word there is translated either hell or grave. It was as though Jonah was in the grave as he was in the fish's belly. Verse 3, the floods compassed me about. Thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Verse 4, cast out of the sight of God. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. That is, even unto death, close to death. The weeds were wrapped around my head. Verse 6, went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars were about me forever. A description of what it was like for him in the very depth of the Mediterranean Sea. Jonah was in a distressful situation. He was nigh unto death. And he even acknowledges that this was sent to him by God. Verse 3, for thou cast me into the deep. And then he says, thy waves and thy billows. God afflicted him, verse 2. And on account of that affliction, he went to God in prayer. Jonah's describing what it was like for him physically. But undoubtedly, that physical description of what was taking place is a picture of what he was experiencing in his soul. And we have support for that on the basis of verse 4. He says, I am cast out of God's sight. Spiritually, Jonah was in a deep, dark place on account of what God had done to him. But that was what God used. In the midst of that, nigh unto death, then, Jonah went to God in prayer. It's sometimes said that an addict, take your pick of what it is, will only finally break that when they hit rock bottom. And there's truth to that. It takes hitting rock bottom finally to get back on the path of breaking the addiction and walking in faith before God. In a certain sense, that was what took place with Jonah. He was, as it were, at rock bottom, physically and spiritually, cast out of the sight of God. But in that situation, because of that situation, really, he was led to go to God in prayer and to see all the more his sin and to experience what he would later experience through that prayer, reconciliation with God. You're going through a distressful situation on account of your sin or not. You experience the billows, the waves of this life crashing all around you. You feel alone. Remember Jonah. Remember what that did for Jonah. And may it be the case that that's what it will do for you. So that you look at that situation not with bitter and anger against God, but you say, thanks God. Because now I see, like I never saw before, my need for Thee. And now, after for a long time maybe not going to Thee in prayer, now I cast myself upon Thee in prayer. Jonah recognized God sent this to him. And through that, he was led to God in prayer. In the second place, we see in Jonah's prayer an expression of being delivered by God. No, rather, that's the third one. In the second place, we see Jonah's expression of his confession of sin and the resulting communion with God. This comes out in an interesting way in Jonah's prayer. While he was in the belly of that fish, Jonah's mind and his desire was to be in one place. And what was that place that he refers to in two different places? The temple. Verse 4. Then said I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. In the fish's belly, he had his eye on the temple of God in Jerusalem. And you ask, why? Don't forget that Jonah's a prophet. Jonah knows these things. Jonah understands the church and communion with God and Old Testament theology. He knew that the temple was the place where he would experience his life in communion with God. He tried to go away from God to Tarshish, and now, being restored, he wants to be with God. And he knows that the place to do that is in the temple. He says, Lord, I want to go. And I express my desire to be at the temple. Because there is life with Thee. But there's more to it than that. Why the temple? Because Jonah knew that at the temple, there was the altar. And if he could go to the temple right now, the first thing that Jonah would do was sacrifice that lamb on that altar as the only covering for his sin. When he says, I look to the holy temple of God, that's his confession of sin. He's saying, only at the temple and through the sacrifice of the animal, the shed blood, can this sin of which I am guilty be covered? His looking to the temple, beloved, is our today, in our prayer, looking to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of what that sacrifice in the Old Testament pictured in our prayers, which may arise out of what God sends to us in our lives. When we see our sin, we look to the holy temple. We look to the altar. We look to the only place that we can look. The only place we will find forgiveness. The shed blood of the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, or rather Jonah, expresses in his prayer a confession of sin and the resulting communion and life with God that he desires. In the third place, as I said a moment ago, in this prayer of Jonah, we have an expression that God heard him and that God answered him. Two times in verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. Verse 6, yet Thou hast brought me up from the life of corruption, O Lord my God, an expression that he was heard and answered by God. And then the great conclusion indicates the same, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah knew that God heard and answered this prayer. Jonah knew that his confession of sin was heard and that he was in fact a restored child of God. righteous in the sight of God. And that was all that mattered to Jonah at this point. Think about it. We don't know this for sure, but Jonah, while he's in the fish's belly, doesn't know that in a few days he's going to be spit upon the shore and he's going to be able to go about his work as a prophet of Israel. For all he knows, this may still be the end. He could still die in the Mediterranean Sea, although God preserved him for some time in the fish's belly. But that didn't matter, because he knew that God had restored him, brought him up from corruption. He had peace. He had contentment with the fact that he was right with God. The Lord answered and heard his prayer. That's the mentality that we must have as well. With thankfulness to God, we do, and we will in the future. Because at some point in our lives, we may be in the same situation as Jonah. Nigh unto death, that's what he said in the prayer. Doesn't matter if we're young or old. We look back on our life. We see our sin. We go to God in prayer. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And like Jonah, we can be perfectly content. Doesn't matter that my physical life may be lost. I'm at peace because the Lord heard me. The Lord answered me. And I have absolute confidence that I am right with the Lord and I will be with the Lord. Prayers arising out of what God does to us in our lives, in which sin is confessed, give us the peace of knowing that that is the case. God works that in us through prayer. God worked that in Jonah in the belly of the fish. And last, expressed in this prayer of Jonah is the proper response. That's verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. What other response could Jonah give to God? What other response do we have for God, knowing that all of the things that we said about Jonah are true for us today as well? There's only one response, and that's gratitude. Jonah expressed that sacrifice of thanks by what he said. And then he said, I vow to accomplish what I have vowed. In other words, if I am delivered physically from this, I am determined, Lord, to go forth in the path of obedience to Thy word to me. Our only response, beloved, it's simple. Go forth with hearts of gratitude. Express that in prayer. And show that in a life filled with obedience. All of that, everything Jonah went through, led him to this glorious conclusion, a summary of it all, when he said, salvation is of the Lord. Everything he went through pointed to that reality, that his salvation was of the Lord. He was backsliding, sliding. He was unbelieving. He wanted to flee from God's presence, but God brought him back and gave him to experience this great salvation. All of our salvation, beloved, from beginning to end, is of the Lord. God ordained us and elected us in eternity. God brought us forth in this world. He regenerated us by the Spirit of Christ. God sent His Son to die for us. God gives us His Spirit in which we have life, the life of Christ. God sends every circumstance of our life so that we might, in this life, more and more know ourselves to be His children. He sends circumstances to bring us back to Him, and we have the absolute confidence that He will preserve us until the day that we die. All of our salvation, all of Jonah's salvation, is of the Lord. Only in the Lord We've said something about all of the verses except verse 8. Jonah understood this. Verse 8, he said, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." In other words, they that put their trust in or observe empty nothings. That's literally lying vanities, idols. They that put their trust in idols will not be delivered, forsake their own mercy, have no opportunity for forgiveness. You put your trust in anything else but the Lord and you have nothing. Another God, yourself, that's the temptation especially. Put your trust in yourself, time, money, possessions, anything else, and we're lost. The only thing is the Lord, Jehovah, the great Savior, Jesus Christ, all of our salvation in Him alone. God led Jonah to see that. From the moment Jonah said, "I go to Tarshish instead of Nineveh," God was working in the life of Jonah to get him to see that and believe that. God works in our lives too. Every single day, all of the means that He uses to get us more and more to go to Him in prayer, confessing our sin, praising God, giving us the knowledge that He hears us, so that we too, all the more, all our life long, say with Jonah, "I have nothing apart from Thee, God. All of my salvation is in Thee." And knowing that, what's our response? Sacrifice of thanks. A life of obedience. Thanks be to God that our salvation is found in Him alone. And may He give us the grace, as we will see in the next chapter, in which Jonah goes forth obedient, to be like that. Go forth in obedience to His will for us. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee that all of our salvation is in Thee. And we pray, Lord, that we might, as we just said, go forth obediently before Thy name and before Thy face. Forgive, Lord, our sins. Continually we walk in disobedience away from Thee. Bring us back to Thee every single day so that we experience Thy grace and Thy mercy and Thy love. For Jesus' sake, amen.